Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chaf in Menachos. We're right on pace. We begin the bottom of the Amud with the words Maskifla Rav Huna. Okay, you recall from yesterday, so we were talking about Ikuv, the halacha of Ikuva, which means which parts of the Avodah is essential, which parts are not essential. So when it comes to a Zavach, when it comes to an animal, we know the blood is the essential part of the carbon, the limbs, the Evarim, the Imurim. They're all mitzvahs, but they're not essential. When it comes to the mincha, so what's essential? What's essential about a mincha? So really the story starts on Daf Yud Ches, on the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah gives us a laundry list, a long list of things which are not essential. Yitzika, I'm just reviewing. Yitzika, the oil, the pouring of the oil. The Yitzika is the second pouring of the oil. Belila, the mixing of the oil and the flour. The petita, the breaking up of the mincha into parts for those menachos that are baked first. Malicha, salting. That's today's topic of discussion. Hanafa, the waving. Certain menachos require waving. Hagasha, bringing it close to the mizbeach. And Meshicha. And some menachos require a shmir at the end, a shmir of oil at the end. So all these things are not essential, right? They're obviously mitzvot, part and parcel of the mincha, but are not essential. Not necessary, not necessary. Necessary, but not essential. Okay. If you remember on the top of this Amud, of Yud Tes Amud Beis, so there seems to be a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that anything that's repeated in the Torah's mincha is for the purposes of repetition. And Shmuel says, no, not even that. Shmuel said, gerish v'shemen, flour and oil, that's ma'akev. Anything else is not ma'akev. What was the whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? The Gemara said, Shmuel can't possibly mean that if something's repeated, it's not ma'akev. Right? That's one of our basic guidelines that took us through all of Zvachim. If something's repeated in the Torah, that means the Torah says this is essential. So that can't be what Shmuel meant. So the Gemara went on to explain what the possible machlokus is between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara spent some time suggesting, well, maybe it's about, what if I don't do the kmitza with my hand, but what if I do it with a kli, with a utensil? Does that ruin it? And we had that long discussion yesterday, and it did segue into a discussion about where I do the Hagasha on the southwest corner, on the south side of the Mizbeach, that tied into the Machlokas of where the Mizbeach is placed. Okay, that was yesterday's daf. Today's daf, we begin the Bam the Amud, and really today's going to be a very focused discussion. Okay, and we start off with a question. The Gemara asks a question with two lines from the Bam the Amud. Maskef la Rav Huna hare melach, telotana beikra, ume'akva bei. So the Gemara says, what about salt? Now there's no repetition of salt in the Torah. Torah doesn't repeat salt. Already I will tell you that line of the Gemara is problematic. Meaning, because if you know your Chumash, and I'm not saying I do, but if you know your Chumash, you know that salt is repeated in the Torah. The requirement to salt are karbanos. But I'll just read the Gemara inside, and then we'll have a better understanding throughout the course of this morning. Hare melech de lo tana beikra. So the requirement of salt is not repeated. And ume akva, and we know that salt is essential. Now, even that line of the Gemara is problematic because we learned in our Mishnah that salt is not essential. So, I realize there's a lot of issues, and it's really early in the morning. Meaning, I didn't even read a line of Gemara yet. But again, as we go through everything, everything will be better understood. Okay, so the Gemara says salt is not repeated, and salt is essential. And how do I know that? D'tanya. So here we quote a brisa. Bris melech olam. The Torah says it's a covenant of salt. Right? Part of the reason why we salt is the Torah refers to it as a bris. It's a covenant. Right? Much like bris milah, right? Circumcision, that's also a covenant. That ratifies a deal, so to say, between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So does salt. Bris melech olam, hu shetehe bris amura b'melech div Rav Yehuda. Right, the covenant is by salt, and Rabbi Shimon Omer Namar Kan Bris Melech Olam V'Namar Lahalan Bris Kahunas Olam K'Shem She'Yevshal Karbanos Below Kahuna Kach I'Yevshal Karbanos Below Melech. Rabbi Shimon says, look, we find the word bris by salt. We find it by Kohen as well. You know, you can't do the avoda without a Kohen. You need Kohen for avoda, and just like you need Kohen for avoda, you need salt for avoda. Salt is also essential. And Rashi, the very first Rashi on the Sama, tells us There is no machlokis in terms of the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are in total agreement that you need salt. It's just a question of how to darshan the psukim, right? But they don't argue in terms of halacha. Okay, good. So what you see from this braisa is that salt is essential. All right. Certainly, you have to. We know that's true by a kohen. A kohen is essential. If we don't have a kohen, no one's. I can't step in and do the avoda. Okay, it doesn't work. So it sounds like from the braisa, simple pshat in the braisa, same thing is true regarding salt. Salt is essential. Now we already could see that there seems to be a machlokas between the braisa we just learned and our Mishnah. Because if you go back to the Mishnah, Yuches Amad Aleph, our Mishnah says salt is not essential. That's one of the main points of the Mishnah back on Daf Yuches. The Brice on the top of Chaf Amad Aleph says that salt is essential. So it's interesting. The Gemara is not going to formulate this like as a question, like Kasha, Mishnah, Brisa. Right? There's a stira between the Mishnah and Brisa, but already we don't have to be that smart to figure out that there is a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Okay, in the meantime, however, the Gemara is focusing on a different aspect, which is, why is it essential? Let's go with the Braisa. The Braisa says that salting your carbon is essential. If you don't do it, forget it. It's no good. So why is it essential? The Torah doesn't repeat it. So the Gemara says, Kishim Shiyash Lekabar, I read that, below Melech. Amr of Yosef, Rav Ketanati Dan Svirle, Damar Lo Malach Kasha. Oh, so the Gemara says, look, you're asking this question against Rav. No question. Rav, who says that salting is not essential because the Torah didn't repeat it. Not a problem. Rav holds like our Mishnah. Meaning, look, it's a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So we'll just simply say that Rav holds like the Mishnah, like our Mishnah. That's one approach. Or, Amalei Abayi Hach Lo Yatzak Nami Lo Yatzak Klal. So the Gemara says, look, in the Mishnah we said Lo Yatzak does not mean that you didn't do Yitzhak at all. In other words, we already made this point. When the Mishnah says, don't worry, you don't have to do Yitzhak, it can't mean that you didn't put the oil in. Of course, you have to put the oil in. In other words, the whole definition of a mincha is flour plus oil. So, Ella, what did the Mishnah mean? Lo Yatzak Kohen, Elazar. It means that Yitzhak was not done by a Kohen, Yitzhak was done by a non-Kohen. And that's okay. That's what the Mishnah means. Hachanami, Lo Malach Kohen Elazar. So over here, we could offer the same shot. Maybe when the Mishnah back on Yud Ches says you didn't salt and that's okay, it means a Kohen didn't salt. But if a non-Kohen salted, that would be okay. Maybe that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. And if that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, so then there is no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. They're both saying that salting is essential. The only point that our Mishnah is making is it doesn't have to be done by a Kohen. So Amar Lei, so on the suggestion, the Gemara just simply says, I don't like that suggestion. V'chitala al datcha, shezar krav l'gabe mizbeach. Where is the salting happening? Where is the carbon being salted? On the top of the mizbeach. The Gemara says, what you're suggesting now is that you're having a non-Kohen actually stand on the top of the mizbeach. Right, and the Gemara asks, like, that you can't think that. V'chitala al datcha, you really think the Kohen standing, the non-Kohen is standing on the top of the mizbeach? It can't be. Ibai yaseima kemen deksiva be bris kemen de tani be kradamya. All right, and then the Gemara makes one final suggestion at this stage of the Gemara, where there is repetition. Why? Because the Torah uses a strong word when describing salt. The Torah uses the word bris melach. It's a covenant of salt. So the whole idea of repetition is the Torah wants to tell you how significant it is. It's important. If the Torah uses the word bris, you're getting the same point. It's like covenant means, you got to do it. It's what ratifies our, so to say, agreement with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if the Torah uses the word bris by melach, it means it's absolutely essential. Okay, now if this is correct, so then there's no question on Rav, meaning the Torah did repeat to a certain degree the halacha of salting, and so therefore it's essential, and that fits in with the Braisa. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah is a little bit tricky, meaning you could either say one of two things. Either the Mishnah disagrees for whatever reason, okay, or The Mishnah could be talking about a Zar, could be talking about a non-Kohen doing the salting, but then you're left with the Gemara's previous question of how do you get the non-Kohen up onto the Mizbeach. So even at this stage now, it seems like, right, if we like conclusions, it seems like salting is essential. That's what it seems like. The Brice is very clear that way. And the Mishnah that says that salting is not essential, either the Mishnah and the Brice disagree, or the Mishnah is talking about a non-Kohen. But that's not... It only leads to more questions than okay. That part is not neat and tidy. All right. The rest of today's daf is all going to revolve around one question, and we're still on the topic of salting. The Gemara started off this whole discussion with the premise: you know, the mitzvah of salting, it's not repeated in the Torah. Not repeated in the Torah. So first of all, the Gemara already quoted a pasuk from Parshas Korach, by Midbar Perek Yud Ches, in the bottom of the previous amud, Bris Melech Olam. Right? Salting is a covenant between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I mean the Gemara is about to quote it, but I'll read it from the Chumash, the end of Perek Beis. Meaning in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Vayikra, the end of Perek Beis. Okay? So let me read. The Torah tells us all about the Karban Mincha, right, in Perek Beis. Right? Vayikra Perek Aleph is the Karban Olam. Perek Beis is the Karban Mincha. Perek Gimel is the Karban Shlamim. Perek Dalet is Karban Chatas. Okay, nice and organized. Parshas Vayikra. So at the end of Perek Beis, after going through all the Menachos, Minchas Mafet Tanor, Minchas Machvas, Minchas Marcheshes, and the Torah goes on to say, V'chol Karban Minchas Chatas, this is Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and every Karban, Bamelach Timlach, you salt it, V'lo Sashbis Melach Bris Elokecha, and don't stop the salt. Me'al minchasecha al kol karbancha takriv melach. Over every karban you're going to put salt. First of all, in that pasuk alone, it says salt, don't stop salting, and every karban you salt.
Right.
So, I mean, even if I didn't have another pasuk, right, this pasuk makes three references to salting, and it seems like salting is a big deal.
That's referring to animals, right?
It's actually in the context. It's referring to mincha, meaning it's the end of Perek Beis. Perek Beis is all about menachos, so it's about the mincha. It does conclude, right? In fairness, for full disclosure, it does conclude al kol karban chatak riv melach. Over every karban you're going to salt. Okay, that's true. But in the context of where it's discussing, it's coming at the end of the Menachos.
Is a mincha considered a carbon?
It is a carbon. A mincha is a carbon. It's when we say the word zevach, we mean animals. Uh-huh. But carbon is a more global, universal term that refers to anything that's going up onto the Mizbeach. So, the Gemara's whole premise is, well, you know, salt isn't repeated, and so how can we know it's essential? And now what the Gemara's essentially asking is, what do you mean it's not repeated? In this one pasuk alone that I just quoted, it's repeated three times. And if that's not enough, so then you go to Parshas Korach, which we started off today's daf with, and there the Torah says in the requirement of bringing up karbanos, and you're going to salt. So the whole question is really seems to be a non-starter when there is a clear instruction in the Torah to salt the karban. It's stated and it's repeated. So what are we going to do with all this? So this is the Gemara's question, and the Gemara now is going to answer. And the answer is going to take us through the rest of today's daf. Oh, that's good. nice focused discussion. Okay. V'lo tana beikra, v'haksi v'chol karban minchas chabemelach temlach. All right. So the Gemara now will say like this. How mi baile l'chid detanya? So that pasuk mentioned in Parshas Vayikra is necessary to teach us which karbanos need to be salted. Meaning, look, we know, you're right, in the beginning of the Seder Avodah in the Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, absolutely the Torah tells us that we have to salt. But don't look at that pasuk to teach us that salting is essential, because the first thing we have to establish is what needs to be salted. Okay, as we pointed out, the requirement of salting is mentioned at the end of the Menachos. So one could have simply suggested, okay, so Mincha needs to be salted, but not other Karbanos. Other Karbanos don't need to be salted. So what we're going to do is classic Drasha. We're going to darshan this Pasuk in order to teach us what needs to be salted? What exactly needs to be salted? So, stay with me because this braisa is a little bit long and it's a little bit complicated, but we'll get through it all. Ilu nemar karbon ba melech shamea ani afilu eitzim vidam shenikru karbon. Look, if the only criteria in order to get salted is that you have to be called a karbon, well, you know, wood is called a karbon. It goes up onto the mizbeach. Now, the whole purpose of bringing wood up onto the mizbeach is fuel for the fire. Mm-hmm. Okay, in other words, a mizbeach needs a fire so we can burn our karbanos. But, as we'll see in just a moment, wood is called a karbon. And blood is also a karbon. It's also one of the things that goes onto the mizbeach. So maybe you should salt your wood, and you should salt your blood. Tamalamra mincha. So that's what we learn now from mincha, meaning the whole placement of salt in the Torah is by the mincha. Ma mincha miyuchedes she'acherim ba'im chavala, av kol she'acherim ba'im chavala. Now we're going to look at a unique aspect about the mincha. What makes the mincha unique is that it has a corollary. Meaning, when mincha goes up onto the mizbech, mincha doesn't go by itself, it's accompanied by something. Now, what that something is, we'll talk more about throughout today's daf. But it's accompanied by something. It has to be something which is accompanied by something. Blood goes on the mizbeach by itself. Wood goes on the mizbeach by itself. So wood and blood, even though they are carbon, in that regard it's true, but they don't share the same feature as a mincha. Mincha is something that gets accompanied. The Gemara's terminology is, right, ma mincha miyuchedes she'acherim ba'in chovala. Others come in conjunction with it. Okay, hopefully as we go through this, I'll be clear about this. Ima mincha miyuchedes she'materes av kol she'matir, avidam she'matir. The Gemara says, okay, but look, mincha, or more specifically, the kometz that goes up onto the mizbech, it's a matir. I get to eat the shirayim once the kometz goes up onto the mizbech. So maybe what we're supposed to learn out from here is that anything that serves as a matir should require salting. We're back to blood. Blood is a matir, therefore blood should require salting. Tamalamra me'al minchascha ve'lo me'al damcha. The Torah says you salt your mincha, not blood. Okay. Again, I'm going to come back to that in a little bit later on. We're going to explain that a little bit better. Yachote mincha kula tuna melech. I might have thought that a mincha should require. The whole mincha should require salt, not just the kometz that goes up onto the mizbeach, but even the shiraim as well. Tamalamer carbon, carbon tone melech vein mincha kula tuna melech. No, carbon only the part that goes up onto the mizbeach, not the rest of it. The ainli ela kometz. Minayin l'rabas ha-salavona. Good. The kemitza requires salt. What about the lavona? Right. Because the lavona is another part of the mincha. It's the frankincense that I sprinkle on the top. I move over to the side in order to do the kemitza. But then ultimately I'm going to take the lavona and put it up onto the mizbech. Does the lavona require salt? Yes, it does. Mar ba'ani afas ha-lavona shekem ba'imah b'kli'echa. Because look, lavona and kometz are all in the same utensil. Since they're in the same utensil, therefore, lavona also requires salt as well. One more step to this braisa. Minayin l'rabos es halavona haba bifnei atzma. What about lavona that comes by itself? As we've learned earlier in the Masechta, lavona, if you want to just bring lavona by itself, you can do that. Or lavona haba bebezichin. What about the two spoonfuls of lavona that are taken off the lechem upon him and offered on the mizbech? Does that require salt? V'haktaras minchas kohanim. What about the mincha of a kohen which is totally burnt in the mizbeach? Or minchas kohen mashiach? What about the minchas chavitin that's offered by the kohen gadol daily, which is totally burnt on the mizbeach? Or minchas nesachim? And what about the nesachim? The flour, the oil, the wine. Imurei chatas v'imurei asham. What about the insides of a chatas of an asham? V'imurei kachei kadashim v'imurim kachim kalim. What about basically anything that's offered up onto the mizbeach? V'evarei olah v'olah sa'of. And what about the limbs of a carbon ola? And what about the bird ola, which is totally burnt on Mizbech? Minayin, how do I know that all those things require salt? Tamalomar, I'll call carbon chatakriv melach. Every carbon requires melach. Period. End of the Braisa. Okay? So the Braisa has basically taken us through everything that requires salt. And basically, it's anything that goes up onto the Mizbech. Now, it's not everything that goes up onto the Mizbech, because the Braisa has established blood doesn't require salt. So when I sprinkle my blood onto the Mizbech, I don't need to salt the blood first. Right? That doesn't require. And the wood that I bring up onto the Mizbech, which even is given the designation of carbon. The Gemara later on will point out where we see that wood is called carbon. But even the wood that goes up onto the Mizbech, that also doesn't require salting as well. Okay, so with the exclusions of blood and wood, everything else that goes up onto the Mizbech requires salt. And even though the whole source of it comes from the carbon mincha, but still, and we're going to explain the drasha better. The Braisa gave us a little bit of the drasha, but as we go through the rest of today's daf, we're going to understand it better. Through the use of drasha, we're going to learn out from this pasuk by carbon mincha that every carbon that goes up onto the Mizbech, except for blood and except for wood, is going to have this requirement of salt. Okay. Amar Mar. By the way, I'm sorry, before we digress now to discuss this braisa, and that answers our question. Meaning, our question was, remember, today's daf started off with a sentence that said, you know, by salting, the Torah doesn't repeat. And we look at that sentence and we say, what do you mean the Torah doesn't repeat? We find it in Parshas Korach, we find it in Parshas Vayikra, the requirement to salt. What do you mean salting is not repeated? And the answer is, no. That in Parshas Vayikra, when it says the requirement to salt, we need that pasuk to tell us what needs to be salted. Not the basic requirement of salting, but simply which carbons need to be salted. So you can't, that pasuk is sort of say taken, it's spoken for. So then we're only left with the pasuk in Korach, and so therefore it's not repeated, and that's why the Gemara started off today by saying it only says it one time. Okay, and then the Gemara then went on to answer, well, we have the word bris, and bris means, you know, it's important and it's essential, okay, so forth and so on. Okay, so that essentially answers our first question of the day. So when we start off the Gemara today, the Gemara start off by saying, salt isn't repeated. Answer is, it is repeated, but the first time I need it already to tell me which carbonates need to be salted. So that pasuk is, so to say, spoken for. Okay. Now for the rest of today, what we're going to do is we're going to go back over this entire braisa. So it was like a 10-line braisa. We're going to go over this braisa, and we're going to basically analyze and understand the braisa a lot better than we did the first time around. Yes.
How much do you put on?
Right, I don't know.
How much salt?
How much salt? Like, right, simple.
You would think one of those rooms there would be filled with salt.
It's such a simple question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Right, both sides.
A dash.
Okay. Either we learned it already and I forgot, which is unfortunately possible, or it's going to come up. It's not going to come up in today's daf. Amar Mar. Okay, four lines after the lines become wide, and here we go again. We're going to go back to the Bryce and dissect. Ein li ala komets minan la rabbas salavona mar bi anias salavona shekem ba ima bikli echad. Okay, how do I know the lavona also gets salted? So the Gemara's answer was, well, it comes in the same utensil. Remember that where the komets is part of the mincha, it's the part that I took out, but before I took out the komets, I first sprinkled on top the lavona. So the lavona was in the same vessel as the mincha. So the Gemara says, why did you need to make that point? Why did the Braisa need to make that point? V'ha amart ma mincha miyuchedes shachem ba'im chavala. So the Gemara says, look, didn't you already establish that as long as it has a something that comes together with it, as long as it has that, so then it requires salt. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Pshan the Braisa is like this. Ema carbon klal mincha prat. Here's what's going on in the Braisa. Now the Braisa is not articulate about this, but the Gemara says, here's basically the underpinning of the entire Braisa. In Parshas Vayikra, it basically goes like this. It starts off with the words carbon, right? V'chol carbon cha V'chol karban b'minchascha b'melach temlach. We could have darshaned it like this. Karban is a very global term. It's what we call a klal. Then the Torah says mincha. Mincha is very specific. So that falls under the category of klal uprat. Now you know the rule. If it's just klal uprat, ein b'chal alamasha b'prat. Prat is a definition of the klal. So then we would have said klal uprat, ein b'chal alamasha b'prat, mincha in midachrin alo. So that only would have told us that mincha and nothing else should get salted. Hada amar al kol karbancha. Then, but if you read on the pasuk, it says all your karbanos. Okay, good. So what's that now? It's klal uprat uklal chazar uklal klal uprat uklal iata dan elakena prat. Now you know what happens over here. Once we move now from general specific general, now we're in the next of the Yud Gimel Midosh Atar Nedrash Shasbahem, which is Ein Shebechlal Ela. I'm sorry. Klal Prat Klal Ema Bechlal Ela. I'm not saying it right. It's Ke'ein HaPrat. In other words, the specific is an example, but anything like that. Maha Prat Mefur Shachem Baim Chavala Avkol Shachem Baim Chavala. Okay, so the specific, we look at what its character is, meaning it's an example, serves as an example. So what makes a mincha unique? It's unique in the fact that other things come together with the mincha. Okay, so achem d'mayim chavala maynihu. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? So in a carbon mincha, things come with the mincha. What are things? What other things come with the mincha? So the Gemara says eitzim. Avkol eitzim. So that means now that any time that you have wood accompany it, which is basically everything that goes up onto the mizbeach, so then it has the requirement of salt. Okay. The Gemara moves on to the next step. How do you know we're talking about wood? Meaning all we've said so far is just like mincha that has something accompany it. So do anything else that has something accompany it. How did you know that its tag-along, so to say, is wood? How did you know that? Maybe the tag-along is, I don't know, something else. The Gemara says, Ema, skip the parentheses, Lavona. Maybe the whole idea is, well, you know what comes together with the comets? Lavona. Meaning, it has a friend. It has a partner. Comets has Lavona, and anything that has a friend requires salt. The icy dam, the ikan asachem, and you know what? If that were true, blood has a friend. blood has a partner that goes up onto the mizbeach. What is a partner of blood? It's so funny. Before today's daf, I never even would have formulated that question, right? But what comes up with blood? And the Gemara's answer is nasachem. The libations go with blood. The Gemara says no. That's not blood's partner. Nasachem b'hadi imur muda asu. No. If I would say, if libations, let's call libations wine. I know it's wine, it's oil, it's flour, but let's just simply call it wine. The Gemara says, it makes more sense that if the Nesachim is anybody's partner, it's the Imurim, the parts of the animal that go up onto the Mizbech. My taima, Achila Vishtia. Because we always view the Mizbech as a consumer. Well, when we sit down for a meal, we eat and we drink. So the Mizbeach, if we're going to understand the Mizbeach this way, that it's a consumer, so the meat, of course, is, that's the eating. What's the drinking? So that's the Nesachim. So if I'm going to attach the Nesachim to anything, I'm going to attach it to the Imurim, not to the blood. Adaraba, Kapara V'Simcha. The Gemara says, no, I could still attach Nesachim to the blood. Why? Because what does blood do? Blood's Mechaper. It provides the atonement. Now, if you're atoned for, you're happy. What's the nesachim? Wine. Wine represents happiness. I know it's funny. I hear myself now. I'm not sounding like I'm saying Gemara. It sounds like it sounds like I'm giving a hashkafik shmooze over here. But the Gemara is saying that if we're going to attach nesachim to something, it doesn't have to be the Imurim. I can make a connection between the nesachim, the wine, and the blood. So, ela lavona ba'ima b'kli echad. That gets us to the next part of the brisa. Meaning, in the first part of the brisa, this part is tricky, I admit. In the first part of the brisa, We've established that's klal uprado klal. And what we're saying now is what needs to be salted, anything which is ke'ein haprat, anything similar to the prat. And what is that? Well, the prat is mincha. Anything which is like mincha. What's the unique characteristic of mincha? It has a friend. It has a tag-along. Now, what we're saying is, well, what is the friend? What's the tag-along of the mincha? So we said it's wood. The Gemara says, how do you know it's wood? Maybe it's lavona. So now the Gemara says, that's the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa is telling us, I know why it's not lavona. Ela lavona ba'ima b'kli echad, nisachim ein ba'im b'kli echad. Leave lavona out of the discussion, because lavona is placed into the same kli. So you can't view the lavona as a tag-along. Aval eitzim ki heicha demiskasher b'hu mincha, hachi miskasher b'hu kula karbonos. But wood is universal, meaning because wood is miskasher, right? Literally, it prepares it gets it ready. It's fuel, meaning just like I need wood on the mizbech so I could burn the mincha. Same thing is true regarding all other karbanos.
The wood always go with the mincha, or was wood up there already?
But it needs wood, meaning you're right. I'm not going to bring the wood up with the mincha, but I need wood to get up to be up there before I put the mincha up there. Okay, good. So, right? So you see what just happened? What the Gemara did is it helped us get from step one in the Braisa to step two in the Braisa. Why is the Braisa making a point about, well, Lavona is in the same vessel as the comets? Oh, because what the Braisa is doing is explaining to us that I know the Mincha has an accompaniment, it has a partner, so to say. What's the partner? It's not Lavona. Lavona is not considered a partner. It's in the same kli. Okay, so what is its partner? Wood. Anything that needs wood need salt. The ema ma prat mefor shachem baim chavalo umateres av kol shachem baim chavalo umateres umayni ulavona haba bebezichin dishar yalechem. The Gemara now takes us to the next step of the Braisa. Maybe, in order to require salt, it needs a partner, like we just described, but it also needs to be a matir. Meaning, look, what's comets? Comets is a matir. Maybe in order, because once I offer the comets, now I can eat the shirayim. So maybe for this salt requirement, it has to be, number one, it has to have a partner, and it needs to be a matir. That would leave out a lot of what we discussed back in the Braisa. The limbs of an ola, that's not a matir. The insides of a carbon chatas, that's not a matir. Basically, it would reduce us down to the two spoonfuls of frankincense on the top of the lechem upon him. Oh, that's a matir, because once I burn the two spoonfuls of frankincense, now I can eat the lechem upon him. But if it's not a matir, maybe it doesn't require salt. Avamidi achrina lo. So the Gemara says that's the next step of the Braisa. Midi itzrich me'al minchascha ve'lo me'al damcha, me'klal dahancha kulo asa b'chad sad. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say, mincha and not blood, you see, because blood is a matir. Oh, so you see that the fact that it's a matir, that's not part of the requirement, that's not part of the prerequisite to require salt. You don't have to be a matir.
Does salt come in its own kli?
No, salt is actually placed on all these objects that are mentioned.
Is can you argue that like blood is makir, whereas mincha is not makir?
Correct. No. You could have said that, but the reason why that's where the Torah is going out of its way to say amin chascha, meaning you're right. You would have had a legitimate havamin to think that blood should require salt. So the Torah goes out of its way to tell you me amin chascha velo me al damcha. Your mincha, not your blood. Amar, mi'al minchasa v'lo mi'al damcha. Ema mi'al minchasa v'lo mi'al evarecha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Yes, I do understand that the Torah is telling us mincha to the exclusion of something. Okay, but why did you point to blood? Why not, for example, say mincha requires salt, but not the limbs of a carbon? Maybe that. So the Gemara says, no. Mistabra evarim. Who havalele rebuye? No, because it makes more sense that if we're excluding something, it's going to be something that is radically different than the chometz of a mincha. Blood is radically different. The limbs of a carbon are not radically different. And the Gemara is going to tell us in which ways are the limbs similar, limbs of a carbon similar to the chometz of a mincha. Number one, the Gemara is going to give us four ways in which they're similar. Number one, achem b'ayim chovalem kamosa. First of all, in order to burn the limbs, you need wood. In order to burn the chometz, you need wood. Okay, that's not true by blood. Blood doesn't require wood. Blood is just simply sprinkled on the mizbeach. Two, ishim, it's burnt. I know that sounds very similar. Okay, I'm aware. So number two, it's burnt. Ishim kamosa. Number three, bachutz kamosa. The wood, sorry, I said that wrong, the chometz of a mincha and the limbs of a karban are both burnt in the temple courtyard, not in the heichal. Blood, on the other hand, sometimes blood is taken into the heichal. Okay, number four, nosar kamosa, subject to the prohibition of nosar, meaning if left over, if the mincha is left over, it becomes nosar. If a carbon is left over, it becomes nosar. Blood is not subject to the prohibition of nosar. It becomes disqualified, but it's not given the name nosar. If you eat blood that's left over, you don't get kares for the prohibition of nosar. You'll get kares for eating blood, but not for nosar. Chuma kamosa, in addition to that, also it's subject to being tame. Right? The mincha is subject to being tame. The limbs are subject to being tame. Right? Not blood. Not the iser of tumah, I should say. Me'ila kamosa. Same thing is true regarding the prohibition of me'ila. The chometz are subject to me'ila. The limbs of an animal are subject to me'ila. Not blood. Blood is not subject to the prohibition of me'ila.
I mean, the chometz seems to be anything has a potential to be for human use potentially.
Right. I misspoke, by the way. I said four differences. I counted up. There's six differences. Okay. Six differences Six similarities between your mincha and the limbs of an animal. So, I know the Torah is telling me a mincha requires salt and anything similar to a mincha. So look, the evare, the limbs of a mincha, that's very similar. As opposed to the blood, where in six regards, they are dissimilar. The Gemara says, but wait a second, adarabba, we're now on the top of the next amud. Dam havale l'rebuye. The Gemara says, look, when it comes to blood, I would have thought to have included blood. Why? Shekein matir kamosa. Because look, the chometz is a matir, blood is a matir. That's number one. And counting over here is significant. It's important to count these. Shekein matir kamosa. Two, nifsal b'shkiyas achama kamosa. It becomes disqualified through the sun setting. Right?
But that goes with any matter. That's like a domain of the matter. That's a time of our matter.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll discuss more of that in just a moment. So it becomes possible through Shkiyas HaChamer, through the setting of the sun. So the Gemara says, so there are two similarities of a chometz to blood. So the Gemara says, so what's the final score? Six verses two. That's the final score. So, and the Gemara says, it's exactly that. Hanach Nefishin. The Gemara says, good. There's more in common between the chometz of a mincha and the limbs of a carbon. Six similarities. There are only two similarities between the chometz of a mincha and blood. So the Gemara says, game over. Six verses two. So your evarim stay in. They're included. They need to be salted. Blood, on the other hand, that gets thrown out, and blood does not need to get salted. Okay, let's finish up the daf, and then we're going to come back and discuss a general point, which actually you just raised. Amamar. Shamei ani afilu eitzim v'dam shenikru karban. Aman shamei ledamar eitzim ikri karban. So the Gemara says, where do you see this? Where do you see that wood is actually called a carbon? Wood. Of course wood needs to go up onto the Mizbech, but where do you see it being called carbon? Rebbe, le Rebbe mi bai bal melech. So the Gemara says, well, Rebbe is of the opinion that wood is actually called a carbon.
Under what category?
Okay, so the Gemara says, Rebbe, you want to bring Rebbe into the discussion? Rebbe actually salts his wood. Rebbe salts his wood. D'tanya, in fact, we learned in the Braisa. Carbon malamishim is nadvim eats him. A person, if he wants to, in other words, you can say, I want to bring up an animal. I want to bring up a bird. I want to bring up oil. According to Rebbe, you can make the following declaration. I want to offer as a carbon wood. Now, first of all, comma, how much wood do you bring up? Shnei gzirin. Two logs of wood. Actually, they're cut into squares. Of one amma by one amma. V'chenu omer v'hagarolos yiflinu al karban ha'etzim. In fact, the pasuk in Nehemiah, now it's not a pasuk in Chumash, but still, we could use psukim in Tanakh to help us define. So the pasuk says, v'hagarolos yiflinu al karban ha'etzim, and the lotteries were taken over the karban ha'etzim. You see that wood is considered a karban. Rebbe omer, etzim karban minchahein, v'tu'unim melech, u'tu'unim hagasha. Rebbe says, it's such a carbon, you know what I call it? I call it a mincha. It's basically a mincha. Now, usually mincha is flour, right? Between us friends. But Rebbe says, no, wood is also considered a mincha. Therefore, it requires salt. Therefore, it requires hagasha. And let's go even further. Let's take it even further. V'ama rabba l'divrei Rebbe, eitzim t'unim k'mitza. We've seen this before. But still, it's amazing. All right, Rava says, look, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you have to do kamitza. Now, my friends, kamitza usually means that I take my hand in and I I take a scoop out of the flour out. Now, flour is nice, by the way, because flour is soft and, you know, it's particles and it's easy. So how is Rava suggesting that according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you're going to do komitz with your piece of wood? Now, does he mean first you're going to grind it up into sawdust and then do kamitza? Or, right, I have this picture in my mind.
A lot of splinters.
I have a picture in my mind of the samurai who sits there with his hand ready to chop right in there. So Havamar Rebbe Diver Rebbe Eitzim Tunim Kamitza. Havamar Apapal Diver Rebbe Eitzim Srichem Eitzim. And let's take it even one step further. I mean, it is the logical conclusion. Once Eitzim could be designated as a mincha, so you know what it needs? Wood needs wood. Well, of course. Because if wood is a carbon mincha, well, I can't bring a carbon mincha without wood. And so if I'm offering wood, wood needs wood. So Sami Mikan Eitzim. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what? Leave Eitzim out of the discussion. You're right, because according to Rebbe, wood needs salt. So leave it out of the discussion. So the Gemara says, okay, so if wood's left out of the discussion, so what are we excluding? So look, blood already, we've already left blood out of the discussion because blood was already taken out from the words Amin Chascha. And Afik Eitzim V'ayel Nesachim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take out, on the top of Chafalef, we're going to take out wood and we're going to replace it with Nesachim. D'tanya, Avahayayim V'adam V'eitzim V'aktaris Ein Tunim Melach. So the wine, blood, and wood don't require salt. Okay, so in other words, Nesachim doesn't require salt. That's what we'll include. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's what we're going to exclude. Yes?
Does one element specify fire?
Well, the fire is interesting. The Gemara in Beitza says fire is not really a tangible item. Right? I'll give you an example. It's interesting. I don't know how I remember this off the top of my head. But let's say, for example, you take a flame and you move a flame from one domain to another on Shabbos. Gemara says you didn't violate Hotzah because the flame is a non-tangible item. Right?
How would you move a flame without moving?
You'd blow it. You blow it out. Blow it out, but right. You jump. Right. You carry the flame. In other words, but without whatever is actually being burnt.
Like a flamethrower.
Yeah. Right. Flamethrower, correct. Correct. So right. So I don't know if I'm right about this. I'm speaking really off the cuff, but it could be that fire is just is viewed as a non-tangible item.
Well,
right?
Fire is always up. It's always there.
Right.
It never goes away.
Right. Correct. Correct. Okay. Good. And that is and that's the discussion over here. Well, really, we stopped in the mid sentence. Well, tomorrow I'll pick it up from the top of Chafalef Amud Aleph. But one more point for today's daf, and we will conclude. One of the things that the Gemara noted is that, you know, there is a similarity between the komitz and the blood in that they both become disqualified at Shkiyas Sachama. They both become disqualified at Shkiyas Sachama. All right, we're going to go over this quickly. All right, give me 5 good minutes. But still, it's so worth reviewing because we did this in Zvachim, and we're going to do this now again in Menachos. And it's just good to review because I find the more often I go over this, the better I understand it. There's a very interesting opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which over here is discussed in this Tosfos at length. And I'm just going to give you the highlights of Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, which is really super important in just terms of understanding when the day's over. Right, we see the sun setting every day. Rabbeinu Tam says, don't get fooled. That's not the sun setting. It looks like the sun is setting, right? And it looks like the day is over. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's the beginning of sunset. When the actual ball of the sun goes beneath the horizon, falls beneath the horizon, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, just the beginning of Shkia Sachama. But that's not even the end of, that's not even sunset. Okay? When does sunset happen? Sunset occurs later. Exactly 58 minutes, 30 seconds later. Okay, now
58 minutes of our minute, 58 minutes of Gomorrah.
I'll be honest with you, Aaron. That is subject to a debate. Let's right now for this discussion, let's just say 58 minutes. 58 quote-unquote real minutes. What we would call real minutes. How did he arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara tells us that there is 4 mil, right? 4 times, a mil is 18 minutes. Okay, we're going to assume. So 4 times 18 is 72. There's 72 minutes between when you see the sun set and when nighttime actually begins. There's another Gemara that tells us the period of Bein HaShemashos is 13 and a half minutes. Okay? So a little bit of math for today. So if I take 72 minutes and I subtract 13 and a half minutes from it, so that means that 58 minutes after what we think is sunset, meaning what appears to us to be sunset, 58 minutes, that's when the day is over. Then, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we enter into this period called Bein HaShemashos, 13 and a half minutes of Bein HaShemashos, and then nighttime. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu,
That means you can put blood. Wait,
just 1 second. Right, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam teaches us. And not everyone agrees with his opinion, but Rabbeinu Tam teaches us that the day does not end at what to us looks at as the visual sunset. Day is not over. Day continues for another 58 minutes and 30 seconds. Then we enter into a Bein HaShemashos period. And then 13 and a half minutes later, now the day is officially over. It's now the next day. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Obviously for us it's significant because when does Shabbos begin? When does Shabbos end? According to Rabbeinu Tam, Shabbos begins an hour after sunset. Okay. Instead of 18 minutes before sunset, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have an hour after sunset. Okay, as you can well imagine, we don't practice that. I told you, Rav Moshe Feinstein sent a letter to the Satmar Rav saying, here in America, we don't, because the Hasidim are very big on Rabbeinu Tam, and they believe Rabbeinu Tam is correct. Right, and it also, by the way, at the end of Shabbos, it hits you. Because at the end of Shabbos, now you have to wait 72 minutes after sunset before you can do malacha, because Shabbos doesn't end. The day doesn't end until 72 minutes after malacha. And I told you that the Shulchan Aruch does rule like Rabbeinu Tam. So, when the Gemara over here says, right, how does that all fit in over here? Because the Gemara over here says that when does blood become disqualified? At Shkia Sachama. So Tosfos, to make a long Tosfos very short, Tosfos says basically Ben's point. Like, what do you mean? If the day's over, of course the blood's going to be disqualified. What news are you providing for me over here when you say that the blood is disqualified at Shkia Sachama? So Tosfos says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's beautiful. Actually, we could say a very sharp shot in the Gemara. It means that the blood becomes disqualified before the day's over. Meaning, the day's not going to be over until an hour after sunset. But do you know when you have to, when you know when the blood becomes disqualified? An hour before that point. Or otherwise stated, when we think it's sunset. Meaning when the ball actually, when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon, already the blood becomes disqualified. That's the pshat in the Gemara over here. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's the point that when the Gemara says That's nifsal bishkia sachama. In fact, Rabbi Natan reads the Gemara very carefully. It doesn't say mishkia sachama from sunset. It says bishkia sachama. In other words, when we think the sun's about to set, meaning it looks like it's setting, so already the blood cannot be sprinkled. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion over here. Tosos, it's long, it's at length, but see Tosos over here for that discussion. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up on the top of Chaf Aleph. Rabbi Chanan, Le'ilui Nishmas. Rizkaleya Bas Shimon Zimel. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Amatz Rishbach, Vizak Yisrael Fichach, Erev Antoim Mitzvah Shenemar, Anach HaFetz Amantzi Ko Yagdil Tov Yadir.